Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening. Subscribe and follow the podcast. Go to YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out there. What a night. I mean, what a night. What a game. What an all-time win for the Phillies. As we have a 1-1 series heading back to Citi Field tomorrow. Look, I was at game one, did the pregame show with Jack and James and Devin and Ike before. And game one was a major disappointment. Wheeler was incredible, but the Phillies really, they coughed it up in game one with their approach to the plate, with the bullpen, all of it. And yesterday, I'm watching at home, and you feel the gravity of the situation because the season was on the line yesterday. The season was on the line. If they went back to Citi Field down 0-2, it was just a matter of time until they go out. And it would have gone out with a whimper. It would have been one of the more disappointing playoff series and years in totality in Phillies history. And halfway through that game, it felt like that's where we're going. Vientos hits a two-run home run the opposite way. Alonso hits the solo home run the opposite way. But the Phillies find a way with resilience, with professional at-bats, with power, with intensity, with grind, with grit, with everything. I want to go through today the seven moments I thought that defined an all-time Phillies playoff win. Let's go through them because there's so much to unpack from that game and so much to react to. Number one, and I want to start here. I want to kind of go in chronological order with this. But I thought number one set the tone, and that was Rob Thomson benching Alec Bohm and putting Edmundo Sosa in. It set the tone of urgency for the day. I thought the biggest issue that Rob Thomson had, specifically last year in the postseason, was a lack of urgency. As things were falling apart in the Diamondback series, it was we got this, no big deal. We're not going to panic. This is what got us here. And that killed them. And in the postseason, you need to have your hand on the button at all times. Not the panic button, but the intensity button, the urgency button at all times. Because it's sliding doors. Like the gap between winning and losing is so thin. It's razor thin. And you can't let a game slip away. And whatever Topper saw down the stretch with Bohm or on Saturday with Bohm, I mean, I've for years said, I hate Bohm's body language at big moments. He is a baby. He doesn't have that grit and toughness you need at big moments. He just doesn't have it for me. And it's why in June, I said, he's not a champ. He's not a cleanup hitter on a championship team. I'm glad the Phillies eventually got there and now letting Castellanos do it because at least I could live and die with what he brings. I can't when it comes to Alec Bohm. So I loved benching him. Now, I know Sosa didn't have a big day, and he made the error. He did make one nice play, but that's okay. It set the tone. It was about tone yesterday for me more than it was the execution or the statistics, and we know Bohm got a pinch hit at bat. He popped up. It was the only time at the plate, but I thought it set the tone yesterday. Number one for me was benching Alec Bohm and letting everyone know nobody's safe, we're here to win, and it's about team first. That's it. Bottom line, team first. That was number one. Number two, moment that defined an all-time Phillies playoff win, was Castellanos getting mocked, booed and mocked in the fourth inning. And I didn't have a problem with his visceral and in-the-moment reaction. You know, it looked like to me, you know, these freaking or bleeping people, kind of a frustrated feeling on both sides. Both sides are frustrated with each other. Everyone in that building was frustrated that he was swinging at pitches that are terrible, that he looked horrendous. And I understand at that point the shadows are probably at their worst and he's dealing with all that, but it had been a game and a half of bad Phillies at-bats. And Castellanos probably looks the worst when he's in that kind of realm. And he was the one at the plate and everyone took it out on him and he was frustrated. But my favorite part of it was how he channeled that. He channeled that. We had a chance yesterday for this thing to go off the rails. Like that this thing was teetering. Okay, if they lose that baseball game and Castellanos after the game spouts off annoyed, upset, says why he's upset, fans aren't behind him, all that kind of stuff, it becomes a disaster. It just becomes a disaster for the franchise, because a disaster for Castellanos with 2 years left on his contract here. It's just bad. Instead, we got to write a fairy tale ending because Castellanos was able to channel that frustration into something good in his next three at-bats. If you had told me at that moment, as Castellanos is swinging at pitches 2 feet outside and getting mocked by the crowd, that he'd have a home run, a single, and a single in his next three at-bats to help the Phillies win the game, I would have said, you're crazy. There's no shot that's happening. This thing is going off the rails right now, but that's exactly what he did. That's the second moment that defined yesterday. If it was Castellanos getting mocked, the Bronx cheer, all that, and then channeling it into something good. Third moment that defined an all-time playoff win for me, Harper, Castellanos, back-to-back in the sixth inning. You know, right before that, I'm sitting there on my couch. I'm saying, you know, all right, we got four at-bats to figure out. Does this team have any guts at all? And I mean any guts at all. Or are they going to go out with a whimper at home, go down 0-2 to the Mets? Like, that would have been all-time level of gutless performance by the offense. And then they get Turner on, and they get Harper to the plate, and he tattoos that pitch to center field. I mean, he crushed that baseball to dead center field. That was a no doubt about it, and it woke everybody up. You could feel the crowd get back in the game, and you could feel right then and there, okay, at least he's not going to let him die. At least Bryce Harper, and by the way, the defense that they play in this game today, phenomenal. Harper made some great plays at first base. Stott with the leaping play in at second base to save a run. Castellanos in the ninth inning on the Alonso, you know, ball that was falling in the ninth inning. He made a nice play. So the defense was spot on, but they needed a jolt offensively. It wasn't the starting pitching. Starting pitching in the first two games has been outstanding. Between Sanchez and Wheeler, outstanding. They've needed the jolt from the offense. And when Bryce hit the home run, you felt, okay, at least that guy is going to go down kicking and screaming. And then, boom, two pitches later, Castellanos crushes a ball to left field. I mean, that ball was hit hard. He knew it off the bat. I knew it off the bat. The whole stadium knew it off the bat. And then, boom, it's tied. Everyone exhaled. They're fighting. They're not going down with a whimper. It was the sixth time in Phillies franchise history that they hit back-to-back home runs. But it was the first time they did it to tie a game or give themselves a lead. I mean, you can make a real case. It's the most significant back-to-back home runs in the history of Phillies postseason baseball. It was also the first time the Phillies had hit even two home runs in the same inning. Doesn't have to be back-to-back. That tied or gave them a lead in the sixth inning or later. Since the last time, Victorino and Stairs in Dodger Stadium in 2008 in Game 4. That was the last time the Phillies hit multiple home runs in an inning, sixth inning or later, to give them the lead. That's the last time, to tie or give them a lead. And they did it there. It woke the stadium up. It woke everybody up. And you realize they're here to fight today. Like, they're not going down like punks. They're here to fight today. They have real guts inside them in this game. You realized it then. That was the third defining moment for me. The fourth defining moment of an incredible Phillies victory was the Mets' decision to pitch around Bryce Harper, bottom of the eighth, 4-3 game. They were so afraid of Harper after the home run in the sixth that they put him on base. They put the tying run on base in a one-run game. It's a cardinal sin of baseball. Like, if Bryce Harper hits a home run, it's a home run, it's a tie game. But they put the go-ahead run to the plate. They gave the Phillies the opportunity to come back. They were that afraid of Bryce Harper. And they were that, you know, I guess, willing to go after Nick Castellanos. But Castellanos made a pay with the single to right field, putting runners on first and third. But that decision by the Mets, that's a defining moment. That was a strategical error by the Mets. They got afraid, and they thought they would get Castellanos out and not to deal with Harper. Well, when you start opening floodgates, sometimes that water comes rushing through, and they open the floodgates for the Phillies. And the Phillies kind of like knocked the door down in the sixth and sort of banged on the door, but they gave the Phillies extra life after the Nimmo home run as we went to the eighth, 4-3. Very, very bad decision by the Mets and a great outcome for the Phillies. That one hit me as the fourth defining moment. The fifth defining moment was Stott's at-bat. the Stott at bat leading to the triple to give the Phillies the lead 5-4 was one of the better at bats you'll see. And it reminded me of the Strider at bat in the Hoskins bat slam game a few years ago. And it really defined how winning is done in October. Stott, you know, wasting pitches and battling pitches and fouling off pitches, taking just on the outside corner, just waiting for the pitcher to make a mistake. When he gives in, when he makes a mistake, when he gives you a pitch to hit, you rock it. And he did down the right field line. That was a really high quality at bat against a tiring relief pitcher. That was winning baseball. Like, that's October baseball. That's why I've always liked Bryson Stott. He provides those kind of at bats. I know he didn't have a very good year, and I was disappointed the year that Bryson Stott had after I thought he was taking that leap to start him. He didn't do it, but it's inside him. The at bats, the grind, the grit, it's there inside Bryson Stott. You saw it 2 years ago against Strider, and you saw it again yesterday against Diaz in the eighth inning. That is a major, major turning point in the game. It gave the Phillies the lead. They never trailed again. And away we went as Stott hits a triple to right field. Then it's the at-bat. I mean, the contact and the hitter are wonderful, but it's the at-bat. That's what really caught my attention, because that is a professional October at-bat that it's very difficult as a pitcher when you have a hitter that is just grinding and fouling and taking pitch on the outside. It really, really wears you down. Boom. Stott. So that was, what do we have? So it was the bone benching was the first defining moment. The Castellanos being mocked and handling it, the second defining moment. The Harper, Castellanos back-to-back is the third defining moment. The pitching around Harper was the fourth defining moment for me. The Stott triple was fifth. Number six, and I want to make sure this gets some credit, because I thought Saturday in game one, I think it was the fifth inning, Rojas got on base to start an inning, and the Phillies failed to do anything with it, including horrendous swing and miss on a ball outside to start an at-bat by Trey on Saturday against David Peterson. I thought he helped let the Mets off the hook. His at-bats were really poor on Saturday. He was better yesterday, including the walk in the ninth inning. So the Phillies blow the lead, right? Strongest of the home run to Vientos. Phillies blow the lead. It is a tie game going to the bottom of the ninth. And the first two guys get out. Hayes strikes out. I think it was a pop-up by Schwarber. So it's two outs, bottom of the ninth. With the way the Phillies bullpen's going in this series, with the way the Mets are hitting right now, you know, they go back out for the 10-6-6. There's a decent chance the Mets score. And we're on pins and needles as we go to the bottom of the 10th. And Turner works an at-bat where he gets a walk. And I thought there was one pitch in the strike zone of the six he saw. He swung and missed at one a little bit low. But he was able to take four pitches, two way outside, probably easy takes for him. Two were not. They were down and away. There was kind of those sliders that he always waves at or rolls over or, you know, dribbles to the right side. And he took both. And he took the walk. And that was such an underrated moment, because that is an at-bat I've seen Trey have a million times, where he'll just end the inning with a ground ball to second, end the inning with a pop-up to right, end the inning with a lazy fly to center. We go to extras. We don't talk about it. It wasn't a super high leverage moment in terms of the weren't guys on base. It was just, you know, the third out of a scoreless inning, and we move on, because it goes in the flow of a baseball game. But he turned that at-bat around. He found his discipline at the plate. He got on base, and he set it up for Harper and Castellanos. And, of course, the seventh and final defining moment of an incredible all-time Phillies win was the Castellanos walk-off. The first Phillies walk-off hit in any postseason game since J-Roll up the gap against Broxton, Game 4, 2009. But how about this? Castellanos has now only the second postseason walk-off in franchise history that saved the Phillies after blowing a lead in the ninth inning. The other one was Kim Batiste. 10th inning, game one, 93 NLCS, after he made a throw and error that led to Mitch Williams' blown save. So I think it's an interesting story of redemption that we got yesterday, and it mirrored Kim Batiste in 93, his own redemption. Castellanos' redemption was for what happened at the plate, swinging, getting booed, the Bronx cheer, how he felt about everyone in that moment. It was a story of redemption. It was an incredible, incredible moment at Citizens Bank Park. And we now have ourselves a war. I mean, this series is going to be a war. That Mets team, I respect the heck out of them. They don't stop fighting. Vientos feels like he turned into a star in front of everybody's eyes over here. They have a relentless, deep lineup. This is going to be this is going to be fun. If you love October baseball, you love this series. 1-1, we go back to Citi Field, and the Phillies have a little life, actually a lot of life, after a game two comeback. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast, of course, the YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there.